Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, a show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In the most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show is about healing. And I think this is either, well, we were just having a discussion about that.
Number seven.
Yes, you thought it was seven and I thought it was eight, but there you are. I think we had some different shows in between. And
yes.
I don't know. But
lots of them, yes. Yes.
But yes, it's going very strong. It's good.
Yes. Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, and you can... Oh, yes, and that's called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book and Akashic reading, please go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com and also at spiritsworkradio.com. And that is, of course, that we also do lots and lots of other services and things like that, usually to do with spirit or dead people and houses and whatever. Okay, anyway, so...
Ghosties?
Oh, yeah, lots of ghosties. We deal with lots of ghosties. Deal with them all the time, don't we, dear? Anyway, what we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into the deep trance state, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the duration of the show. And I won't know about anything else that happens once Gregory takes over my physical body, because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else. And like I say, do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work and what we do. That's www.spirit-teaching.com. And there's just a few seconds before Gregory is going to be here, and I'm going to go. Goodbye.
Thank you, Mick.
Not for us to take that off.
Okay, everybody. So instead of Mick taking his glasses off, he took his headset off. Well, as we said to you before, the spirit world start actually subduing Mick's mind before the show. And as it gets nearer to him going, excuse me, and this is actually spirit taking my energy. And very often I get a croaky throat when they're coming in. So let's get Gregory through so I can have my voice back. But, they gradually start taking him off, and it's like he's got one foot in each camp, one here and one there, and he starts talking gibberish sometimes. So it's quite funny. Does silly things. Anyway, we will have a good show, because it won't be him doing it. It'll be Gregory Hay. And if you have a question to ask on the healing subject, it's not readings today. It's about healing, okay? Anything to do with that. And it's such a broad spectrum topic. So in the US, it's in the US and Canada, it's toll free. And in the US, the number is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, I'm afraid it's not toll free, but it is in the evening, so it's cheaper in the evening. And it's only a short call, so that would be lovely to hear from you. And the number is 001-530-876-3222. Anyway, Gregory had an Earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world, and now he comes back to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. And he's here looking at me, so I'm not going to say any more. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend. And, yes, we try to.
You try to.
Yes.
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, I was just going to say about you being the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who are here every time we do this.
In innumerate number, dear
yes.
friend.
And which means that Gregory's never stuck for an answer, basically, because there are many great minds that are in the White Cloud Group. I'm doing it as well.
The White Clued Group.
And so scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, basically. So
yes.
We usually have a fun time. And thank you if anybody's joined us for the first time and do give us a call. I'll say that number again in a while. Okay, so, well, here we are again then, continuing on with our healing subject. I'd just like to finish off on the subject that we ended on last week, actually,
yes.
Because you were talking about pain gates and about how this can be something that is actually left open in the body. It's an etheric situation, is it? It's not something physical that anybody could see, like a doctor or something like that?
Well, it's part etheric, but it is actually physical as well.
Yes, but do you understand?
Yes.
I'm trying to describe this situation, but because you were saying that after trauma and illness, sometimes the pain gates can be left open, and they're trigger responses that happen when they're left open.
Yes.
Which is why sometimes you take a long time to recover from something.
If you recover at all. That is what chronic pain is. People who suffer from chronic pain, if they actually go to have a management of that chronic pain,
mm-hmm.
It may well be, if it's a forward-thinking institute, of course, mm-hmm. it will be that the person is taught meditation.
Yes.
As a way of bringing themselves through the pain gate. And they will describe it as such.
That's right. So, yes, because actually we know people that have done that.
Yes, quite so.
Okay, but they're not actually calling it pain gate.
Oh, yes.
Are they?
Oh, yes.
Oh, right, I thought they would have a different word.
No. It doesn't have some long, convoluting word.
Okay, so
no,
it's something of the mind
a clinical
as well,
term.
Then. Yes, but it's something in the mind. It has to be as well.
Yes, of course it is. But that's not to say that it's psychosomatic, and it's not to say either that it's an embellishment of the mind in some way, trying to... it's not something of reflective memory either of the situation. It's a very real thing. It means to say that the neurons are still firing at the seat of the pain, even though the pain is no longer present.
Right.
Now, sometimes this may actually be due to certain combinations of muscle groupings which are still in tension.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this can happen, of course, around spinal injuries and things like that, so that you may well have conditions which are brought about through spinal injuries. Yes, it will affect those areas of muscle groupings, and it may well be that muscle grouping actually has to go into a spasm as response to the original injury. I would say sometimes you would have actual physical pain in your legs or in your calves or perhaps the inside of your leg or the outside of your leg.
Mm-hmm.
You may even have extensive pain over your skin and that it actually affects you in that way. Of course, the correlation is still the same. It means to say that the pain gate has been left open so that even if you actually have a seat of pain, perhaps in your ankle at the bottom or in other parts of your leg or around your knees or something like that, it may actually be something which is of such an old injury that the actual fibers of the seat of the injury have actually knitted together, perhaps not perfectly, as in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
And it may well then be that there are small fibrous neurological pathways
mm-hmm.
which are, in fact, damaged, and that they are actually sending forward the information to the pain gate saying, I'm still damaged. But what actually has to happen there is that the physical body actually does repair itself very often. I'm not saying every time, but very often it does repair itself and it sends out and regrows new fibrous neurological pathways for the effect to take place, so that there is still perhaps then a regained sensation in the skin at that point, or forget that there are sinews of neurological pathway running throughout all parts of your body. So it may well be that because you have had some kind of injury, whether inflicted by an object or whatever, or break or whatever it is, it is going to take time for that to heal, but also part of the healing process is going to be to do with the neurological pathway. And it may well be that your pain gate still remains open because it still thinks that it is in pain, that it's still in a fault of injury.
Mm.
And that site of injury is still dictating to it, when in fact it isn't. It's a false sense of energy and a false transmission.
Like a replayed memory, subconscious memory.
Yes, absolutely.
How does acupuncture fit into that? It sounds like it should do.
Yes, it should do, and I do understand that for some people, acupuncture works very well, quite simply because it actually enables those pain gates to be turned off.
Mm.
However, I don't want everyone to go rushing out for your needles.
No.
I also understand that there are certain aspects to... cranial osteopathy,
yes,
and that kind of thing, which are also very good because, of course, that they actually use the cerebral fluid as well as the spinal fluid to actually massage and reintroduce the circulatory system of the neurological pathway to enable it to actually become regrown or to redress the pain gate problem that may be there within your physical state.
Yes, cranial work, cranial osteopathy is just absolutely fantastic. I love it.
Yes.
It should be more common.
Yes.
I think cranial sacral work is actually getting a little bit more popular.
Yes, it should be because... for all kinds of reasons as well. This isn't just for situations of injury and accident. This is also really to do with such things as childbirth,
mm-hmm,
and that kind of thing. Many children can very often have the actual plates of their heads which are in perhaps difficulty. They may well be quite displaced, in a sense, during the birthing process.
Mm.
And it may well be that for many infants, a cranial sacral osteopathy can help dramatically to improve a child's problems during those early formative months.
It can make it very much more comfortable. And it's so gentle as well.
Oh, absolutely so.
So gentle.
Yes, yes. And especially, too, of course, for the spinal cord as well, and any problems that may actually venture, or really it's to help the seating, the proper seating of alignment and growth for that child's physical skeleton, as well as it being very good for them spiritually. You will very often find, in fact, that through that kind of sacral work, that the patient very often will erupt emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Very often to do with these displacement of energies and release of energies which were often caught up, particularly from people suffering from these kinds of debilitating illnesses such as a chronic pain,
mm-hmm,
management and that kind of thing. This can very often be a sense of great tension, as you can imagine,
mm-hmm,
through someone having pain for so long in a specific area or whatever. It can wear one down quite extensively.
Oh, absolutely.
And we do recognize this. That's why it's so good, really. Also, of course, spirit healing will bring about...
can have a similar effect.
Yes, it can have a similar effect. Yeah.
And, of course, you... Mick's guide, Lai Tiao, his healing guide, he uses cranial work in his healing.
Oh, yes, a great deal,
doesn't
in fact.
He?
Yes, a great deal. And not just in the cranial state either, but actually applies the same methodology to many other areas of the physical body, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells me.
Yes, and using the pain gates and the trigger responses and that sort of thing.
Yes.
And going back to that, What about the thought patterns? I did touch on it at the end of the show last week. The thought patterns that we get, that repetitive negative thoughts, fears and phobias and that sort of thing.
Yes.
That can lead to depression and all sorts of situations. Is that something to do with the pain gate situation, only a different sort of gate?
Yes, an interesting point.
A neurological sort of a, I don't know, emotional...
Well, it's a mind gate.
Yes, like a mind gate, you know, where you can't stop going down that pathway.
Yes.
And I'm not just talking about depression or negativity.
No, but don't forget, though, my friend, it is also because those kinds of pathways as well do produce certain pheromonic activity from the physical body, which actually then belies other attitudes and other and conforms to certain neurological attitudes which are played out, which are repetitive.
Yeah.
So they don't actually have anything to do with the condition of what it is now. It's the supposition that very often that the mind takes over from the thoughts and the thought processes, particularly, I have to say, if they're not actually properly in touch with their spirit, then it really does mean to say that many people immerse themselves in this wandering through their mind catalogue, if you like, looking at all of the more destructive things of their mind rather than bringing about a different form of energy and focus to the problem at hand, perhaps, or to the future response that you would make. Therefore, they're always then perhaps revisiting the same journeys. And that is something of a comfort as well that many people have. That's the same, in a sense, to the pain gate situation, that many people, even though they are chronic sufferers from pain, actually may well have a certain attitude toward it that it's familiar. Even though they don't want to suffer it, they still do because it's familiar.
Yes, and the power of the mind, we allow it to use us instead of trying to, you know, beat it into submission and
instead of bringing it under control.
Yes, absolutely. Yes,
and that really is what all of this is about. The whole attitude to do with your spirituality and your well-being is to do with your mind control and how you are able to utilize the facility that you have. Even if it's a poor mind, uneducated mind, or something like that, it doesn't mean to say that you cannot come to grips with this. You can.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And if you'd like to ask Gregory a question about healing, you can phone us toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free. It's 001-530-876-3222. Okay. Well, I was going to say about mirology. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that this week or another week.
No, I think we should cover that a different time.
Okay. All right, then. Okay, that's fine. I'd like to talk about animals for a moment then.
Yes.
Are there certain animals that are, and we know there are animals that are more instinctively in tune with their fight or flight responses. They're more fearful, basically, and they're more alert and aware.
Yes, like horses.
Yes, and what about, are there animals that are more in touch with the fact that they have to look after their body? Not because they might get killed, but because it's healthy to do that. Or is that...
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely, yes. All the members of the cat family and many other forms of being actually wash themselves.
Yes.
And take care of certain aspects of their their grooming, chew their nails and that kind of thing, making sure that they are...
That's not just vanity, then. My little joke, but I mean, you know,
and
that's not just because it's uncomfortable. That is because they are aware that it's healthy.
Oh yes, absolutely so. And I know that many people would then point immediately to, oh well, yes, that's just an instinctive thing that And it certainly isn't to do with vanity. It's to do with the recognition that the well-being of you as a being is something which is fundamental, perhaps. It may well be, of course, something which is to do with grooming, like looking for fleas and that kind of thing on one another's bodies. I'm not saying that human beings do that too much, but most other primates do, and many other creatures who have can be susceptible to infestation. It is very often something then which is thought of as a genteel pastime and also something of a necessity, of course, so that it makes and ensures that everyone in the family group is as well kept as they should be. As I say, it's not a vanity issue. It's actually to do with the well-being, the personal well-being of every person within the group. So whether you're looking at a group of monkeys, a troop of monkeys, or whatever it is, they will do this and carry this out. Maybe they will also add it in as a pathway to subservience to someone else. In the case of a troop of monkeys where you have a dominant male or a matriarchal society, perhaps, within that troop, it can often be that the other females will groom the matriarch of that group. As, in fact, it tends to be that it is actually that all troops of primitives are matriarchal societies. They only allow the males in to their midst, something perhaps that many girls also, I understand from the conditions that we have watched on physical Earth of human beings and behavior, that many women also take this same opinion. They only really suffer men for a certain length of time, perhaps to fulfill certain needs or whatever, and then they're summarily dismissed. A bit like in all the primitive ape forms. I hate the word primitive, I know, but it's just there to typecast a certain variety or group of species.
Yes. And you see horses rolling in the dirt. Is that cosmetic or is it just, what are they getting from that apart from a good scratch?
Yes, it is a part of an instinctive process, I suppose you would call it, but it's also something that demands attention when their skin feels a certain condition. And they actually, the reason why a horse needs a good roll after it has sweated a lot is to make sure that the paws are clean. Cleanliness for a horse doesn't mean to say that it gets washed. Cleanliness is that it adds dirt and dust to its coat to ensure that the paws are brought into, in a sense, whilst it's doing that, it's actually scrubbing across the paws with the dust. And that then is something that's actually ensuring that the paws are actually in the condition that they're supposed to be in. Now, you would think that grains of dust will then lodge into the little paws themselves, but they don't. It's a bit like rubbing sand onto something. If you rub sand onto your hand, onto the back of your hand, for long enough, perhaps it may well be wet, or in which case the sand will stick a bit, particularly if it's very fine, like the dust on a horse. If it rolls in mud, it actually sticks to it. But actually what happens then is that it's also part of the skin conditioning. It's a bit like you putting a mud pack on your face.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not that I've actually personally seen you do that.
No.
But I know that many people do.
Mm.
And it's that kind of thing. It actually brings up the skin condition. Particularly, you will find that animals will do it in certain places, and that will depend upon the mineral content of the earth that they can smell. So that they will actually define how many metals are in the soil, or how many of this, or how many of that, the salt content perhaps. And that will be something, well, this remineralization that the horse will need or the animal will need for its coat to ensure that it's well kept. And also, of course, that dust will also dislodge mites very often.
Okay. Now, some of these questions that I've written down here for today's show, jumping around a little bit, but never mind.
It doesn't matter.
I know you talked about last week a little bit about how you have to sometimes change the vibration of healing thoughts to be turned into something more useful.
Yes.
Possibly. You know, not necessarily what the person who's sending it or people sending it thought it was going to be used for.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Which we can understand. Does it matter if the vibration of the medium who is giving healing to the patient doesn't mesh with the patient? Will that...
No.
That won't make for a not such a successful healing session?
It should not matter. However, I understand that many practitioners perhaps may be a little wary. For example, of some people, particularly if you are looking at a condition where a female clinician, shall we say, is going to be treating a man who has tattoos or something like that. The ambience of the situation will automatically change because of the pictures all around his body.
Yeah.
And this is something which can then transcend into a difficulty with their own personality vis-a-vis their client. So, obviously, it is very necessary that you do not actually apply anything to do with your own mind thoughts about your client's physical condition. So, this may well apply as well to people who are extra large or something like that. I'm not saying that this is meaning that the client, that the clinician has a phobia or some such thing as that. But this can very often have a bearing upon that clinician's morality, if you like. And so that's something which then can have an effect upon the way in which they deal with that person.
So if somebody's a little bit intimidated by somebody for whatever reason.
Yes.
It can, yeah, okay.
And yet, of course, that's just an appearance. And it can very often be that as soon as the person opens their mouth, everything is perfect.
Well, absolutely, but you've said before about, you know, we shouldn't worry too much about not being able to get on with each other in certain circumstances when you can't really put your finger on anything. And it's very often because your vibrations just don't blend well together, like in family situations.
That is true.
So if you're healing somebody and your vibrations are totally not compatible at all, you know, you like the person, but it's, you know, your vibrations just do not, and I can't really explain what it feels like. And everybody has experienced it, but maybe they've not put their finger on that is what is happening, that your vibration isn't blending with somebody.
Oh, yes, absolutely so. Or it may well be, of course, as a clinician, that you suddenly feel a great draining sensation coming from you, almost like your client's draining the life out of you.
Yes, there are various different ways it can manifest itself.
Yes, of course, absolutely. And we do understand this. It's actually very often because of the condition of whichever soul group that you are from or that they are from, it can be something to do with that. The life energy that is coursing through that person is not compatible with yours. It may well be a whole string of other things and events. It could be something to do with the life excursion itself and the actual events that person has brought about or suffered from that day.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone, of course, can be positively focused or whatever. People who usually go for healing are having a difficulty mentally as well with the problem that they suffer from, whether it's a physical complaint or a mental complaint, whether it's this or that, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. They're also suffering from it in a physical way and a mental way. So how this is actually going to affect the condition is that they are invariably, when someone comes to you for healing, that they're going to be in an altered state, not their normal state. They're going to be in a depressed state. They're going to be in a this or a that.
Absolutely.
And you have to be able to accommodate these kinds of different depressions and different sensations. And also, of course, that means that it's ultra possible and probable and necessary for you as a clinician to be able to protect yourself from these situations, even if it means to say that you are not being invasive by closing down to them or anything like that, because you're not supposed to be doing that. You're not supposed to be opening up to them either. You're supposed to be, as a healer, in a sense indifferent to the situation, but also that you would be allowing the spirit world to use you. And so it's not your mind, it should be that you just give of yourself to the situation and don't actually allow the place of ego, your mental stimulus of your thoughts, your conclusions, your decisions, your judgment to enter into the situation. So many people tend to go about the condition of healing in a very matter-of-fact way, on the one hand, which is quite right, but at the same time as well, they will use the same multiplicity personality that they had rendered and remembered from previous times of healing someone else. And so this then becomes like a repetitive situation, that you're not necessarily going through the situation, going through the motions, and then finding this problem or that problem. You're actually using, you then suddenly find yourself just going through the motion. Oh, this is how I heal. I do this, I do that. Even if they're learning a different, a new condition.
I stay here for so long, then I put my hands there usually.
Yes, yes. And I do this and do
routine.
That and pick this up and throw it over there or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so but in a lot of healing courses and that sort of thing, some have fancy names, and
yes, and they're usually trademarked too, I understand.
Yes, well, but how possible is it? How much can you manipulate energy? How possible is it to do certain things through a given technique?
Well, I would have to say that it is possible. If you are of a clear mind, if you allow yourself the latitude, that you can manipulate certain forms of energy, specifically to do with the earth plane, or the universal energy, such as in the Reiki situation, you use symbology very often to bring about certain engagements, certain attraction, and very specific connections to do with energy pathways. And in this way, that you are actually then being quite instrumental and focused upon the given situations you are bringing about. Usually because that is a given situation. You start at a specific place, usually the crown, and then work all the way through perhaps the beginning on the front of the body or the back of the body, depending on which way round you wish to do it. And this is something which is then quite methodical. And the process will be that you are going through a system of cleansing or a system of writing a particular person's energy pathways or something like that to the scenario that you are bringing about in to do with your course and to do with your healing practice. However, what I'm saying is that around this will then happen that those in the spirit world who are undoubtedly working with you, because it doesn't matter whether you are a Reiki practitioner or who you are or what practice that you have, you still have many people around you from the spirit world, whether you want them or not, who are actually taking part in your practice on your behalf. And it doesn't really matter for some people, but it does for others, as to whether you actually engage with those beings or not. You see, for some, they would just take the opportunity of whatever and engage with the situation and enable that situation to bring help and ease of suffering for the patient, because that's at the end of the scenario is what the spirit world are about. It's not about proving you as a good healer. It's about healing the patient. And whether you are able or not to facilitate that in a recognizable way through your mental giving, through the way in which you interact with your spirit friends, is a matter for you. You may correlate with their energy, you may not. It depends entirely upon what your stance is and your purpose, whether you wish to allow that as a thought process or not. So I'm saying basically that beings in the healing sense in the spirit world will come to you whether you want them or not. It's a part of your process.
Okay. Is it different healing guides that do hands-on healing versus distant healing? Would you get, you know what I mean? How does that work in the spirit world?
Yes.
Is it different people, types of spirit people that do one or the other?
It is usually actually to do with a collective situation, and it really does depend entirely upon how that person has developed, if they have actually developed at all. If they have mindfully developed their process of healing, perhaps it may be that the person has been doing absent healing or something like that and been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will be that those who are working with them are invariably actually bringing about a process of joining with that mind energy, of joining with that consciousness, and joining with that spirit of
mm-hmm.
that healer. In exactly the same way, or in that anyone else would, except perhaps it's not tempered by the more dutiful and more responsive situation of actually having a verbal relationship with them. So it may well be that the beings in the spirit world who are working in a little enclave in the spirit world to mm-hmm. help you as a healer, as a distant healer or something like that, and you're helping that energy really to be sent to the place that it's supposed to be sent to. It may well be, of course, that it isn't. It may well be that it becomes a part of the pathway of stream of consciousness from the human condition in physical state to the spirit world, and in which case it becomes a part of the condition that, because of the fact that you have named the person that you want to send healing to, that your energy that you're sending to them becomes a part of the great cosmic energy which is being sent to them and trying to help them.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah.
So just because you actually send your energy out there doesn't mean to say that the name tag sticks.
Mm-hmm.
But be self-assured that your energy will be a part of that great cosmic energy, which also, because of the fact that you've named that person or you've illuminated that person's image in your mind, something like that, that it means that that energy or energy which is of the same loving vibration will be sent and given to that patient.
Do healing guides train in various methods?
Oh,
really?
Yes, absolutely.
They have a school hospital with halls of learning, presumably.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There are the cycles of clinicians who are readily available throughout the spirit world to do with both the physical human condition and, of course, the condition of any other animal. And this is also a part of the process of passing that many beings who have, maybe they have been clinicians in their own physical life, maybe they haven't, maybe they've done something else, but actually just had a leaning toward wanting to help other species or other beings. And in which case, the healing will be of service. And that those people will just come and join with. As soon as someone has an idea, oh, yes, perhaps I would like to try to heal that person, give that person healing. They're there straight away.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But just because I say that they're there doesn't mean to say they're right up close to you. They might be, but they may well not be. You may feel as though that energy around you is so close that it's actually coming over, you can feel it on your skin and that kind of thing, and yet the author of that energy may well be yards or even miles away.
Yes.
Physically
that
from
before.
You.
It's a weird one, that. To
it's
try
not
and comprehend.
Yes. It's because it's not a case of proximity.
Yeah.
Proximity is something that always ambushes human beings into thinking, oh, yes, well, I have reached this accessed plane of existence, so I have reached this ascended being, and that's over there. But it isn't.
So in the spirit world, when a healing guide is healing with a medium, they're working together. Is there sort of like I don't know if I mentioned this last week, a hospital situation around them?
Well,
like there is here, you've got, when we do this sort of thing, we've got the gallery with auditorium.
Yes,
situation.
I understand. Well, it will depend upon the advancement, in fact, and whether...
How serious that medium has been in the training.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that wouldn't be organised just for a whim, would it?
No. It's really to do with the development process. That's why you develop. That's part of the process. Many people don't actually realise that when they're actually learning to do something, whatever it is, whether it's in the physical state or for or on behalf of the spirit world, much of their learning in development through meditation or through the practice of perhaps some form of communication with the spirit world is actually brought about through dynatic conditions. Dynatic conditions are that you send your energy out because of your willingness to participate, to be of an energy source for, or a healing source for, in which case dynatic conditions dictate that others in the spirit world will automatically draw to you because you have made that commitment or that agreement. And it means to say then that other energies will then start to become around you. And as I say, it doesn't depend specifically upon the healing course you are taking, because invariably, because of the need and the possibility that such sensitive awareness can have a great impact upon the healing course, your decision making, and the way in which you interact physically with your physical state and your spirit and their physical state and their spirit, whether you are ultra sensitive to their needs and that kind of thing, will come about in the developmental process that you furnish for yourself.
And this is the thing we don't realise when we're doing all this development, that things are happening behind the scenes. So many people give up because they just don't feel, that because they can't feel anything happening, see anything happening, sense anything happening. They think it's not happening.
Yes, or become despondent for this reason or that reason.
Yes, which is a great shame, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely so. We, after all, and I know that we often bring this up, but there have been people who have sat for 5 years and got nothing. And then one day, there it all is. You see, sometimes the benefits of education aren't where you think they are. But they're actually to do with other restorative situations which are around you, which are helping you to overcome certain personal problems of your own identity. And I know many people would say, what, me? I don't have any problems. But all people in human physical life have thoughts and feelings, have memories, and those memories, if they're negative, can very often have an impact upon your life, even though you may not recognize it as such. Oh, no, I've never thought of that since that person passed away or whatever. I've left it completely out of your mind, or out of their minds, are only people who are actually not admitting to it.
What about people that have passed to the spirit world? Do they discuss their death experience? I don't mean in a morbid fashion, but do they discuss their death experiences like we would, the people here, ladies, discuss their birth, the birth of their children and that sort of thing, sharing stories around a cup of tea or whatever?
Yes, it's a strange situation.
Do they in the spirit world discuss, hello, well, I've just met you and we get to know each other. Well, how did you pass then? How was that for you?
Yes.
Do they?
Swap stories.
They must do
stories. Yes, certainly.
I mean,
to a certain extent, yes.
Yeah, especially if you've still got the human traits. Chatting and gossiping and things.
Absolutely. Sometimes. People who come up to me very often aren't looking at me, but they're looking at my neck.
Really?
Yes.
What, to see, what, is there a line there?
No. No, not at all, but that's it.
Right. People that first meet you that know how you pass.
Yes, yes.
Look at your neck. To see
yes,
if they
or they
can...
keep looking at my right wrist or something like that.
Yes,
like something's going to suddenly jump out at them.
So yes. For people that don't know, if there is anybody listening that doesn't know, Gregory passed. He lost his head and his right hand when he was run over by a coach and horses.
Yes.
So I can see that. I can see that. But they would, especially if they've only just been to. Been and had their life on Earth.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Like I say, they've still got characteristics of human being, thought, patterns.
Yes, yes. And you'll have people coming up to someone, beings in the spirit world perhaps, who have just passed and maybe they are meeting someone who, let us say, that they passed from being shot or something like that, and they'll try to find the hole. And that kind
Go
of
on,
thing.
Show me your war wound.
Yes, yes, quite so, yes. And of course, if that person wants to reveal it, then they will. I could reveal my head and holding it, if you wished, but I wouldn't, of course.
Have you got any funny stories about that sort of that situation? Have you ever met, you know, like that you can share with us, any funny situations or incidents?
Yes, I remember a Lady Thoreau who was actually she was a French aristocrat and that or Madame Thoreau and mm-hmm. that she had her head taken off by the guillotine,
right?
And that for a number for quite a while in any event. That she was struggling with her mental attitude about the whole situation because she couldn't find it.
She couldn't find her head?
No. So we had to actually retrain her to understand that it's all just a part of her mind consciousness, and she was going, but I don't know where my mind is. And I'm saying, well, you are bringing about this thought, so your mind is a part of your had been a part of your physical state and your consciousness, therefore you can access it to retrieve the actual familiarity, and then gave her a mirror.
Right. Right, okay.
And whereupon she redefined her head and her face.
Through her thoughts.
Through her thoughts, yes.
That's interesting.
Which is how thoughts work.
Well, there must be loads of cases like that.
Oh, hundreds, yes. Yes, absolutely so. And people with various bits and pieces missing, of course, particularly if they'd had them, shall we say, legs and arms amputated, things like that. Then the situation very often is revealed quite simply by retraining the mind back into the state of how they were or what they were doing before they passed. Now, the situation, of course, is very often that mediums on your physical side of life will reflect upon, oh, I can feel the pressure here, this person passed with a heart attack or lungs or whatever, and almost like the person still suffering from it. Mm. Of course, it's purely a condition from the memory, and although some people in the spirit world will still have this form of attachment in their memory, and they're still suffering from it. And in a sense, that's why we actually use much of the healing energy sent to the spirit world via loving awareness and thoughts from other people in physical state, quite simply because these beings still need a great deal of healing, even though actually they don't.
So if a blind person passes, can they be stuck in that way as well?
It is possible. It is possible, and then we have to re-educate them. Actually, with blind people, it can be quite difficult, especially for those who were born blind and never have been able to see.
I can see that. Excuse the pun.
Yes, because they don't have an analogue within the retention of their consciousness to understand what sight might be like.
Well, absolutely. They've got nothing to draw on.
No. So what we usually do is we borrow the imagery and energy from someone else, or we allow, we even give of someone our own recollections.
Right.
Of the consciousness, and actually there are pathways to giving someone else a pathway of the conscious memory, which is actually to do with the intricate circuitry of a physical state.
Right.
Which allows then there, if they want to only fixate upon their conscious activity mm-hmm. of what they were in physical life, mm-hmm. then they would then be able to use that to facilitate an imagery within their consciousness, mm-hmm. even if they never had sight in physical life. Now, I'm not saying that the spirit has to do that. They don't. But it's a way, it's a much easier way of saying to a being who has passed, and if they never had sight, that, well, here is a way that you can actually regain some semblance of physical sight and understand exactly what that felt like,
mm-hmm.
and then actually be able to reenact it. Not that the spirit actually needs it, as I say, because it can often be that the physical person, if they just made with their consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and that the consciousness is able to enact with the spirit, then the spirit will be able to form that in any event, and that they would be able to see, because it's only a condition of the physical journey, which is now past.
I think we'll do a show on that. I think we'll do that next week. If you can gather lots of situations like that, of how you deal with
various
healing
situations
in the spirit world.
Oh, yes,
I think
absolutely.
That would be absolutely
so
fascinating for us.
Yes, yes.
We've only got a minute left, but
yes.
We lost our Pavarotti.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
He's quite happy now and recovered immediately, in fact.
Did he?
He was straight away eating a bowl of pasta.
You're joking.
No, I'm not.
Honestly?
Yes, absolutely so.
Did Freddie Mercury go see him?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And many others as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, he'll be singing away for your benefit now.
Yes, but he said, actually, though, that he is going to have to return. He's going to have to be around the situation in Modena, I understand,
mm-hmm.
Quite simply because there is quite a growing energy around there, and he really wanted to make sure that his loving family are all right. Of course, he knows they will be, but because really,
yeah,
they were all so blessed,
yeah,
with him being in their midst.
Okay. Well, that's nice to know. That's nice to know.
Yeah. Mm. With love and light, then, friend.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us this week on Spirit's Work. Do join us again on Monday and on Thursdays, of course. And I'd like to mention our website, spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us. Book an Akashic reading with us or any of the other services that we offer. And do visit our little film, VO, on VO. You can, V-E-O-H, and send it on to your friends. You can see Gregory in action on that. You can get that on our website. So anyway, until next time, be peaceful, be positive, focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.